On the line now, I have Tom Halpin from the Sustainable Energy Authority of Ireland, or was known as SEAI. Good afternoon, Tom.
Good afternoon, how are you?
And thank you very much for taking the call. I was speaking earlier on to Suzanne from Fitzpatrick from Codema. You're involved with doing free workshops coming up.
With the home energy saving kit.
Yeah, so that's this is a nice follow-up. We're going to talk about top tips for heating your home this winter without costing the earth, which is what we all want to do.
Well, at the Sustainable Energy Authority of Ireland, we work with businesses, communities and homeowners to help them use less energy and whenever possible to use renewable or clean energy. And that's all with a view to creating a clean energy future. And the bottom line is that everyone's energy matters, so everyone's actions count. And we work by raising awareness and providing advice and support. So we've also grant-aided nearly 350,000 homes who've received grants to upgrade the homes and make them more comfortable and healthier, less costly to run and reduce harmful emissions. But this morning we're talking about something that doesn't need any money to be spent. You don't have to invest in an upgrade to your home. And it's simply about using the controls on your heating system and being smart about how you control your heating. The most important and the first thing we advise is 20 degrees is a perfectly good temperature for your home. Some people tend to overheat their homes, and that is costing them money. We do urge that if there's older, infirmed or very young children in the home, maybe a hotter temperature is required. But 20 degrees is perfectly adequate. And if you're going higher, like 21, 22 degrees, you're probably costing yourself another 100, 200 euro on your energy bill in a year. And also, it's probably a little less comfortable because it may overheat and then you have to either open the windows or doors or turn off the heating system to let it cool down. And then you get too cold. So start by, if you can, go out, have a look at your thermostat and see what it's set to.
Okay, now I just want to ask you something there, Tom. You mentioned elderly people there, and a lot of central heating systems mightn't have controls or a thermostat on them. Would you advise people to go out and get these put on?
Definitely. Yeah. And you're absolutely right that there are many homes, and not even older homes, there are many homes built even recently that may not have time and temperature control on the heating system. And without time and temperature control on the heating system, it's a little bit like having a kettle and just constantly boiling it, going out and switching it on and keeping it boiled just in case you need a boiling pot, a kettle of water. If you have temperature control, as I say, it keeps the home comfortable. And even if it's elderly people in the home, setting it to 23 or 24 degrees, which is where they might need it, again, that will bring it to the comfort level and still not allow it overheat. It won't allow it get to 25 or 26, which might just be a little bit uncomfortable. So the thermostat is for getting it to the comfort level you want and then keeping it there. For the timer, again, if people don't have a timer on their heating system, well, it's really a sound investment, and it's not an expensive investment. And between the timer and the thermostat, you could save yourself several hundred euro just by having proper time and temperature control. For those of you who do have a timer on your heating system, there's a possibility that, let's say, you expect to be in from work this evening at 6 o'clock, and yes, it's definitely colder today than it has been, but you may well have set your heating system to come on at 4:30 or 5 o'clock just to make sure the home is warm enough. Well, for the most part, your home will heat up perfectly adequately within half an hour. And this is what we call the 30-minute rule. So if you expect to be in from work at 6 o'clock, setting the heating to come on at 5:30 is more than adequate. And then say you're going to head to bed at about 11 o'clock, turning it off 30 minutes before you go to bed, i.e. at 10:30, is perfectly adequate because there's going to be residual heat in the home that will keep you warm and cosy just before you jump under the sheets.
Okay, and we're going by, I don't want to keep going back to an elderly couple. An elderly couple living in a three bedrooms house would probably only need one room heater, for instance. But they may be afraid of if they don't leave the heating on in the other rooms that the rooms might get damp and lead to problems. What would you advise there?
Well, what we advise is Definitely, with all heating, what you want is you want the heating at the right temperature, in the right place, at the right time. And for those unused rooms, we generally advise, particularly during cold spells, we generally advise to have a small amount of heat going in the background of those rooms. So they might be too cold to actually sit down in and watch the TV. So setting them so as they might feel like they're 12 or 14 degrees. But actually, even just that little bit of background heat in them will prevent any issues of frost or, you know, that might happen, or freezing pipes. But it'll also, that small amount of background heating will prevent any issues, or should help prevent issues of condensation, which arises when you have cold rooms and warm air elsewhere in the house. Now, again, people don't necessarily need to rush out and buy pieces to upgrade their heating system. But you can get what are called thermostatic radiator valves, or TRVs. And these are really great for those sort of situations. You can put a TRV onto a radiator in a room that's used less. Let's say a guest bedroom. And you can set it to a very low level of heating. And what happens then is, when the room warms up to that low level of heating, maybe 10, 12 degrees, the valve actually shuts off and stops the heat coming into that room, even though the rest of the house may continue to warm up. And then when the room cools down a little bit, the valve opens again. And these are great also, say, for in a kitchen. Because in a kitchen, if you have the radiator on full, but you happen to be in the kitchen and cooking the dinner, there's a lot of extra heat generated in the kitchen. A thermostatic radiator valve, or TRV, on the radiator will actually make sure that the radiator shuts off, and you're basically heating the room using the heat from the oven. But if then you turn off the oven or you turn off the cooker and they begin to cool down, the valve will open again. So it's an automatic control, particularly useful, as I say, for less occupied rooms or rooms where there's additional heat sources.
Now that sounds a great idea. It's something I've never heard of before, the TRV. Can you go and buy these, Tom, and put them on yourself, or do you need to go to a firm and have them send somebody else out?
Well, they're not difficult to install. I have to be honest, I wouldn't attempt installing one myself. So talk to your local plumber, your friendly plumber, or the plumber that does jobs for you. They're not expensive, you know, 10, 15 euro for the piece itself. So it's not expensive. But it does require, what it does is it replaces the existing valve that you use to turn on and off the radiator. The problem with those is that actually you might be able to turn them down to a low flow rate, which is what people often do. But the thing is, if the heating is on, the heat is going to flow through that radiator at that rate. Whereas what you actually want to do is to be able to stop the heat coming into the radiator if it's either getting too warm, like I say, in the kitchen, or if it's above that low temperature that you might want for unoccupied rooms. So they're a great investment. But to start with, if you don't have a timer and you don't have a room thermostat, or a thermostat that's overall controlling the heating in your home, they would be the best investment you could make.
Well, as you said there, contact your local plumber. Make sure he's registered. I think it's important as well.
That's true.
And maybe he'd get on, he'd sort out those three things. Mm-hmm. The TRV.
Yeah, and the other thing that we also recommend strongly at this time of the year is getting the boiler serviced. We are going to go into a period where the heating will be used a lot, and servicing the boiler does three things. Firstly, it makes it run more efficiently, which is great because it saves money, and to be quite honest, it'll save you more money than it'll cost you to have it serviced. Second thing is, it'll make it more reliable, because when servicing it, the engineer is likely to identify items that are likely to fail. So that means that, pardon me, they can be remedied before they actually fail. And the third thing is, it'll be safer. And that's hugely important with fuel burning appliances.
Yes, no, I'm really looking at things here, and I'm very surprised at number five. The cost of heating your home, the cost of fuel, etc., etc., is leading a lot of people to go back to open fires, coal fires. Mm-hmm. And that's not recommended, really, isn't it?
No. To be honest, if you're talking about how to cost yourself a lot in terms of wasted energy, then the open fire is a great example of it. For an open fire to work effectively, it needs to draw air in from the room, and that air needs to be pulled up the chimney. That's a simple fact of how fires work. In doing that, three quarters of the heat that is coming off of the coal or the wood that's in that open fireplace is going straight up the chimney. It's benefiting no one but the sky. So an option there is, well, first of all, to consider if you have central heating. Now, sometimes people are limited to only having open fires, and we're conscious of that. So clearly, if that's the only option you have, then you must do it. But in terms of options, you could consider blocking the fireplace and using your central heating system. You could consider closing over the fireplace and putting in an enclosed wood pellet stove, which will give you the same effect, because we know open fires give a nice ambience into the room and look lovely. But with a sealed wood pellet stove, you're going to get far more heat, effective heat, out into the room, and you're also using a source, a fuel source that is not quite renewable, but is a lower carbon impact.
So a wood pellet stove.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're commonly available, and the pellets that you use for them are available. They can be bought in bulk, or they can be, if you're only using them for the stove, you can buy them in bags, much the way you do a bag of coal. The beauty of them is, as I say, that because they're enclosed and because it results in your chimney effectively being sealed except for the exhaust of the stove itself, there's far lower heat loss out of the room, and they're far more effective at pushing heat into the room.
Well, this is all very informative, Tom, and thanks for coming on. Wood pellet stove, can people go and buy these, insert them into their fireplace?
Yeah, there's many, many suppliers. Any company that does fireplaces will tend to do stoves, but a lot of the wood pellet stoves, a lot of the heating supply companies will also be able to point you in the direction. But just check online, wood pellet stoves.
Yeah, that point you made there now about open fires, they look great, but 75% of energy is going up the chimney and damaging the air quality.
And that again is a big issue, there was reports recently of the serious impacts that we are having on air quality, and two of the biggest offenders are open fires and cars and vehicles and the exhaust fumes.
Yes, well, now I remember going back decades that when coal fires were the only thing that was used to heat houses, and it wasn't smokeless fuel that was being used, and my God, the damage that must have been doing.
I can remember that well, because I used to work at one point up in Clonshock Industrial Estate, not too far, I think, from your studio there.
Just up the road,
and
yeah.
I can remember seriously bad smog, which arose from the cold weather and the very bad and dirty fumes that we had from smoky coal.
And I think the smoky coal then was done away when they brought in smokeless.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't think it really was a smokeless, though.
Well, it's lower particulate emission, but definitely we don't have as critical a smog issue as we had at that time. But there are still emissions that are invisible emissions that are seriously harmful to health.
Yeah, now I spoke briefly earlier with Kadeem about insulation, and like insulating your attic and your walls. This can be expensive, but apparently there are grants available.
Yeah, well, we operate at SEAI, we operate two schemes. The first is, if a person is considering doing this work themselves, they can get a grant, which for the average 3 to 4 bed semi-detached home, the grant will give you about 30% of the cost of the works. Now, the grants are for attic insulation, wall insulation, and heating system upgrades, including solar panels. And they vary from €300 is the lowest grant, and that's towards attic insulation, all the way up to €4,500 for external wall insulation, which is expensive to get done, but that's a really good contribution towards the works. The benefit of the insulation is that after you're using your heating system more efficiently and you're still paying for the energy, it'll keep that heat energy in the home for longer. Now, if any of your listeners are in receipt of certain social welfare payments, including the fuel allowance, is one of them, and the full details are available on our website. We also provide a service free of charge, which is called the Warmer Home Scheme, and that provides free attic and wall insulation upgrades for eligible homes. And the full details of both of those schemes are available on our website at seai.ie, or your listeners can call our call centre on 1850 927 000. And our call centre would be happy to give you full details about both of those schemes and talk you through the eligibility for the free service. So with both of the schemes, we suggest you get the details first, because even if you're going for the grant payment, you have to apply to us first, get approval, which is instantaneous through the online system that we have, and then you have up to 6 months to get the works done.
Right, Tom, could you give us that phone number again? I don't have...
Yeah, well, the website is www.seai.ie, and the phone number is 1850 1850 927 000. So that's 1850 927 000.
And people would be glad to give you the people information. Are those grants, are they means tested, for instance?
Well, the free service is effectively means tested, yeah, on the basis that we provide the services to homeowners who are in receipt of certain social welfare benefits. So how we establish the means is by the homeowner demonstrating to us that they're in receipt of some of those the specific social welfare benefits that we talk about. So, as I say, if the homeowner's on fuel allowance, they just need to show us that they're on that fuel allowance, and then they are eligible. Provided they own their own home, by the way, and it's built before 2006.
Right, Tom, that's been very, very interesting and very informative as well. There's a couple of things there you mentioned there that I wasn't aware of, and I'm sure the listeners weren't aware of. So thank you very much for that.
Okay, is there anything you're welcome.
Anything you'd like to add, Tom?
Well, no. The main thing is we really want people to be comfortable in their homes this winter, have healthier homes, and to actually save money on their energy. So either using the controls that they have at the moment, or by upgrading their controls, we want people to think about making sure that the heating is on when they want it, where they want it, and at the temperature they want it. And if there's maybe two things they should take away, 30-minute rule, so turn it on half an hour before they go get up in the morning, and then turn it, or maybe half an hour before they come in from work, turn it off half an hour before they go to bed. And the other one is, for most of us, 20 degrees is an ideal temperature.
And are these tips available on www.seai.ie?
They are indeed, and all of the tips that we provided.
And the information on grants is the same with /home energy grants, is that correct?
Yeah, yes, but they'll be easily enough found. If people just go to seai.ie, the information is easily found on the website.
And for LD people who aren't off a with IT and stuff like that, it's 1850 927 000.
Yes.
Tom, thank you very much for taking the call.
Thank you for talking to me.
Bye-bye. Yes, don't know about you, I found that very, very informative. That was Tom Halpin from Sustainable Energy Authority of Ireland, otherwise known as SEAI.
This is 90.3 Near FM.